Hey guys, this is NCAA champ Yannick Yakimopoulos. I'm here on Inside Trip Radio with Nick Drone.
Recorded high above Madison Square Garden in the city that never sleeps, the OG Podcast Network presents Inside Trip. Now, here is your host, Nick Garone.
Okay, this is Nick Garone on Inside Trip with the man, Yannick Yakimopoulos. Yanni, so happy you could be with us here today. You know, I've been watching you, you know, since you were younger, coming up the ranks, and just it's a privilege that you took the time out to come on today with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, it's been a whirlwind this last 12 months for you. You know, you've had the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and, you know, and tell me a little bit about, you know, the mindset going into the season. And then kind of after the season, you know, you're dealing with an injury and everything else, you know, kind of give me a little bit of an idea of, you know, kind of, you know, your whole past 12 months, maybe not all in one shot, but at least the wrestling season and how that went.
Yeah, so honestly, getting to Cornell, you know, I was recovering from elbow surgery, from breaking my elbows in high school, and, you know, I knew the preseason was going to be tough for me. You know, I wasn't in as good a shape. I was pretty much coming into the preseason having not trained. You know, I trained 2 months out of the past 7. So, you know, I wasn't really in the best shape. But, you know, we got through it. We got through the preseason. You know, I got in shape. I got my weight under control. You know, I was in really good shape. And, you know, I'm having a good year. I beat Bryce Meredith in the Vegas tournament. I won Cliff Keen Las Vegas. You know, one of the toughest tournaments in the country this year. And then
no doubt,
we go to Florida, South Beach Duels, and I wrestled Jaden Ironman, who I ended up wrestling in the national semifinals, but I'm up 5-3 with riding time with, you know, 20 seconds to go. I make one stupid mistake. I dive at his legs, and I get put on my back to lose the match. And, you know, that definitely hurt a little bit. You know, it was a stupid mistake. It was a match I felt I deserved to win, and I lost because of something stupid that I did.
Do you think things like that help you in a way? I mean, I know nobody likes to lose, especially you. It's not a normal thing for you to lose a match, but sometimes, you know, that loss almost constitutes 100 wins in learning on how to maybe adjust and things like that. And I know you've been at every level, so I know you know that already, but you can never be at a level where you stop learning or you stop thinking and being razor sharp like you normally are. Do you think that helped?
100%. The Ironman loss, you know, the next month and a half of training between South Beach Duels and Nationals was probably the hardest, you know, 2 months of training in my entire life. So I stayed locked in, you know, all the time. I never let anything get past me. I just, after that match, you know, I just made sure no matter what, I was never letting anything like that happen to me again. And, you know, stuff like that's completely in my hands to make a mistake when I'm up 6-3. It's in my hands to dive at a guy who I'm not supposed to. It's in my hands, the reverse side, stay in the fight and hold position, right? And I made sure come NCAAs, I would never lose a match I felt I didn't deserve to lose. And
yeah,
I think, know, that was a huge change in my training going into Nationals.
You know, you go 37-1. You have a fantastic year, win an EIWA title. You know, everything's going great. Your head is right. You're ready to rock and roll. But still, you know, nothing can simulate. Nothing. I know you've been going since you're a little kid to the NCAAs. And, you know, that tournament, nothing can simulate that in practice. You really have to go through that tunnel. You have to feel that feeling. You have to get on the mat with all the fans and, you know, 20,000 plus fans. And, I mean, even at your level where you've won 2 cadet world titles, you've been on the stage, on a big stage before, it has to be a little daunting, especially for a freshman.
You know, it was a really crazy atmosphere, but I think for me, that's when I respond best. Because, you know, when the lights are on, there's people watching, I think, you know, I can't tell you why, I can't tell you how, but I can just see it in myself. My game 100% elevates a little bit, you know. Even just finals of the tournament, you know. If you catch me in a winner-take-all situation when I've had a weekend to get rolling, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think that atmosphere is best for me. The NCAA tournament, I think, is great for me because it's not a small stadium by any means. It's not quiet.
Nope.
I respond to that energy, that noise, that high-pressure atmosphere. I think that's when I perform best. So as much as some people get overwhelmed by the NCAA tournament, I think for me, it actually helped enhance my game a little bit, which is nice.
Do you think that that's something that can be learned, or you just, there's just special people, you know, and I know you don't like speaking about yourself. You're one of the most humble, approachable young men out there. You're phenomenal. But do you think that that's something that you're born with, that you have internally, you have that in you, or is it something that you can capture and can learn through mat time and experience and getting out there? Because, you know, there's guys like Kyle Date, guys that are like, you know, just, you know, Kale Sanderson, guys that just have that X factor. You're one of those guys, but do you think it's something that can be taught or learned, or do you think it's just something that just happens, you know, it's within?
I think it almost happens organically. For me, I competed a lot growing up and through high school. You know, as a kid, I probably wrestled 100 matches a year. And after a while, like, those lights seem less bright, and that stadium seems less packed, and those fans seem less loud. And I think the biggest thing for me is that, you know, when I'm in that situation, you know, I've wrestled hundreds of matches, and I think, I don't know that it's a taught skill. I think it's something that you, as the individual, just have to realize is that, you know, the guys don't change. Mm-hmm. The wrestlers don't change. It's the same people. It's the same match. It's the same everything. Nothing changes. It's just more people are watching. And
it's a great way to look at it.
I think for me, you know, that's all it was. And I, specifically, even take it a step further, and I'm like, this is what I've been wanting to wrestle in all year. So I might as well enjoy it while I'm here. You know what I mean?
No doubt about it.
It's something that, for me, like, I hate to say, I don't mean to say it like this, but for me, it's like, I wish every weekend could be like the NCAA tournament. So
yeah.
I have to enjoy this because it's the 3 days out of the year that I get this intense of an atmosphere. And for me, it's like just living in the moment. Think about how cool this is and how normal 19-year-old kids aren't getting to experience this, you know, on St. Patrick's Day weekend in March.
You know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, there's guys that, you know, mature a little bit late. Like, I matured later. You know, I hit my stride in my junior and senior year in college. But, you know, to do it as a freshman, to have that kind of poise and composure is a gift. It's a talent. I always respected guys. I remember how tough it was my freshman and sophomore year in college. And I always respected guys that could do it as a freshman because I needed that room. I needed that, you know, that competition every day and getting out there, going to the bigger tournaments, wrestling against guys that were ranked in the country to actually prepare me for my junior and senior year. And, you know, it's not easy. And like I said, I respect it. And to do it as a freshman, I mean, it just blows my mind. One thing I wanted to ask you real quick, like, why Cornell? You know, you basically were coming out probably the top recruit in the country. Everybody had, you know, since you were in ninth grade, you were on everybody's radar. You know, I know you're up there and I know you have a relationship with Dake and Kyle at Dake and Rob Cole and you know the program, but what made you say, no, this is my home, this is where I want to be for the next 4 years?
You know, Cornell's got something really special about it where I believe I could have been a national champion. As much as everyone likes to say, oh, it's for the school and for the wrestling, if Cornell wasn't a good school, I still might have gone there just for the wrestling. I think they have a phenomenal coaching staff that has a lot of different fields. You know, you can get a lot of variety there. And, you know, I think that it's a group of people that genuinely care about you. And if you're one of their guys, and you show them that you care, they will reciprocate that care to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's super valuable to have, you know, that I look for in a coach. It's someone who doesn't just want me because I'm good at wrestling, someone who actually will want me. You know, they want my best interest in mind. Someone who I can trust when I'm 30. You know, someone who I can trust to send my kids to, even if my kid's not a good wrestler, you know what I mean? And I think that's something Cornell had. You know, I think the coaches are genuine, and so far, I've been right, which is nice.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they produce there. They always produce. They always put out great teams. You know, every year they lose, you know, they lose somebody like a Kyle Dake, which is, you can't replace him. And they come right back, storming back the following year, and they produce guys, you know, national champs, Nashawn Garrett, they, you know, Gabe Dean, you know, just the list goes on and on and on. But, you know, it's an amazing program. I've been privy to it. You know my relationship up there. And yeah. And those guys just do a phenomenal job. My hat's off to them. Every year I go there and just see them balling on the mat and making sure that everything is, that the preparation is second to none. And you're right. You know, it's, you got to feel that they care about you. You can't just feel like, you know, oh, listen, I'm out there wrestling for them. And if I go down, they got another guy, you know, another guy. Now they're interested in somebody else. No, they really have concern for their guys. And that shows. And there's a bunch of programs like that. But I really feel Cornell is one of those programs. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you today, too, is this. That really was like I was curious about. Because I'm always curious about things that maybe not the normal person might be able to see or hear. And, you know, out of your mouth, like, what do you do to prepare? You know, not the weeks leading up to peak for a tournament, but maybe like to prepare, like just before you're going out on the mat, like where's your mindset? You know, what do? Do you have any like strange little quirks that you do and things like that, superstitions? Is there anything that you do that I think people would be interested in that?
To be honest, it's like, it's kind of a joke, but I actually do it with like me and Mike. This thing, like turn the brain off and turn the mind on. Because it's like, you know, when I, you know, as soon as I'm in the hole on deck, you know, right when I'm about to go out there, there's nothing going on in my head. It's like talking to a brick wall. You'd be like, yawning, yawning, yawning. I'm just like, let's totally space out. But, like, dig a little deeper in there, and it's like pure fear, instinct, reaction. And I think I put myself into this state of mind where, like, all right, I'm here. I'm fighting this guy for 7 minutes. I don't care how much pain I go through. I don't care how much pain he isn't feeling. I don't care what the score is. I don't care how strong, how fast, how much better than wrestling he might be at me. I'm here to make this guy suffer for 7 minutes and to out-wrestle him. I want him to feel my pace, and I want him to feel that I'm better than he is, so that he never wants to beat me again. I don't do it on purpose. It just kind of happens. But, like, the brain turns off. You know, there's nothing going on in there. And then I hit into this state where it's just like, it's like fight mode. You know, I'm here. You and me for 7 minutes. We're putting each other through hell. And I'm confident that I'm better at wrestling than you, so that when I drag you out to deep water, you're going to drown first. And that's really all it comes down to.
It's a great attitude. And you know, you hear somebody like yourself who is actually put that to use and actually have been successful with that kind of attitude. Hey, listen, I blank everything out. I'm going out there. I'm concentrating just on you. And at the very least, whatever the score happens to be at the end of the match, my goal is to make you say when you leave that match, I really don't want to ever wrestle him again. You know, and if you've done that, I mean, win or loss, you know, if you win or lose, it really doesn't matter, does it much? I mean, you know, you're in a situation where this guy never wants to touch you again. He just is like, this is something I don't even want to get into again. And you know, if you could have that kind of dominance, just physical dominance over somebody or making them feel that way, I mean, that's a win every single time. You know, won a match. I watched the match against Dean Hale from Oklahoma State, and I wanted to ask you about that match because that was a crazy match, back and forth. You know, you just pulled it off. And when you did that, I you know, it was just, the place was going nuts. You know, I was in attendance, of course, but the place was going crazy.
Thank you. So match starts, we get in a scramble, and he's flat on his stomach, and I'm kind of chasing like a switch. I go to rubber knee, like pull my foot out, and he catches my foot, which happens all the time. But usually I can get my knee on the back of the guy's neck, kind of like hamstring curl my foot out, right? But Heil, because he's smart, knows how to wrestle, when I put my knee on the back of his neck, pulled my foot down, so I didn't have that leverage point anymore, and I was stuck pretty much, and he just pulled my leg in. And I didn't know it, but in that moment, you know, 1 minute into the match, I tore my ACL, and I was like, oof. Like, I don't know what it's like, but now I do, but I didn't know what it's like to, you know, tear a huge ligament like that. So I just got up, my knee buckled, and I was like, oh, all right. And, like, it had this weird loose sensation where my, like, kneecap was just, like, kind of flopping around, and my quad was, like, shooting over my shin, and I was like, what is going on here? So I was just like, whatever. Like, you know, it feels weird. I'm not taking injury time. So so we're just wrestling now. Yo, Fury takes me down, rides me out. He takes down, he gets out, you know, in 30 seconds. I remember right when he got out, I cleared away. I'm kind of hopping for a second, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to lose this match. Like, I gotta pick it up. I can't let whatever's going on with my knee, like, affect me right now. Get a takedown. I hit a throw by on him. He gets out with 10 seconds to go, right? Third period, my choice. I go bottom. I was a little worried, if we're being honest. You know, he had run me out for 45 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
But I could just, like, feel the match kind of shift in my favor after I got the takedown. I don't know if it was just totally in my head, and it was just me kind of, like, betting on myself. But I could feel it a little bit. And I reverse him. It's 4-4, and the coaches were like, caught him. And which people agree or disagree with, I agree with. I win matches on my feet. You know, that's my best position. I'd rather lose on my feet than not be on my feet. And have it come down to a mat wrestling match. So we caught him, right? I'm down 5-4. And when I was cutting him, I could feel him, like, not picking his head up. Just little things, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to take him down. Cut him with 45 to go. You know, little fakes, level changes, clubbing him, you know, picking the pace up a little bit. I hit him with a little swim knee pull. Actually, it's really similar to what Kyle Day hits on everybody. And take him down. I ride him out. And I remember seeing the place kind of blow up when the match ended. But, you know, like, you're still in that weird state.
Yeah.
Dead silence. I did not hear anything.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how your mind, I remember when I was out on the mat, people were like, did you hear me screaming? Did you hear me yelling? And I'm like, no.
I hear two voices out of my corner. That's it.
Yeah. It's amazing how the brain works. But so go ahead, finish the story.
And I remember, like, you know, jumping into my coach's arm, and Mike Gray's arm, and I'm like, that was freaking awesome, you know? And, like, you know, 5 seconds go by, and I come to, I guess. And I'm like, oh, my knee hurts so bad. And he's like, don't say anything. We'll take you to the training room, and we'll see what's up with you. Like, all right. You know, I shake Oklahoma State guy's hands. I check my name at the table. They do the interview, you know, post-match interview or whatever. We go to the back room, and our trainer immediately starts checking my knee out. And he's like, whoa. I'm like, puts my leg down. So in that moment, he must have been like, yeah, you have no ACL left.
Oh, my God.
But I knew that he just realized something was up, and I was like, don't tell me. I don't want to know because I'm not going to not wrestle, so I'd rather just pretend that there's nothing wrong. And he's like, all right, yeah, we can do that. I just won't tell you. I'm like, thank you. And, you know, that was it. From that on, we just didn't talk about it. We would take my leg up, and obviously I had to do some things differently and warm up differently and wrestle a little differently. But we try to acknowledge it as little as possible.
When you get your hand raised in the finals, last year you were in high school. I know you had the injury with the elbow, so you didn't wrestle, which would have been a definite state title 5-timer. But it was more important to be ready for the following season. You already accomplished everything you could accomplish. You know, you ride off into the sunset with a 243-3 record, 4-time state champ. So now you're preparing for college. But still, I mean, to get your hand raised in that moment, I mean, what? Yo, I mean, just tell me about what's going through your head.
So that was crazy because in the quarters, like if you watch me, I get really excited. In the semis, if you watch me, I get really excited. In the finals, it was like, you ever see, this is so corny, but like you ever see those movies where it's like usually in war movies, like a bomb goes off and you don't hear anything, you just hear like, beep, like nothing, you really hear nothing. You don't really see anything, you're just kind of like spaced out. It's like surreal.
Yep, yep.
That was like how it felt. Like I just stood up. Again, this time, I didn't see anything. I didn't look to the stands. I didn't look to the scoreboard. I didn't look at the flames. Like none of it. I just looked to my corner, and it was just like, oh, we did it. You know what I mean? I looked. I remember looking, my coach is right in the eyes, and I kind of pointed at him. I was like, you know, we're tough out. We're tougher. Like, I don't know why I said that. It was just like the first thing that came to mind.
It's good stuff.
And, you know, it was like, it was a cool moment because it was just like, just for like that moment, you know, a minute after the match, it was like there was nothing going on in the world but this. And it was, you know, it's really cool to experience something like that.
That's incredible. I mean, it was great. You know, obviously I'm a fan. So, you know, I was going crazy too. I was one of those many people going berserk. So, you know, that was a good moment for me, too, to see that, because I know the work you put in. I know that the dedication. I know your mindset for years. You know, I'm not around you all the time, but I know that mindset is all about being successful and preparing and doing everything in your power to live clean and do the right thing and work your hardest every day. So when somebody like that wins and has the personality you have, you know, you got to be a fan. You know, you talked about movies. What is your favorite movie?
Honestly, I kind of jump around. You know, I like comedies, but I like Pulp Fiction too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just honestly, when I watch movies, I just like to enjoy. And like watch a funny movie. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of why I like Pulp Fiction. It's like quirky. I like Monkey Number 7 because it's like quirky.
You know, Pulp Fiction's cool. A classic. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Pulp Fiction's a great one.
But you're a comedy guy. You rather listen to comedy and
oh yeah, like
I mean, watch
last
comedy.
Night in my room. I watched like 3 stand-up comedy skits in a row.
That's awesome. Who's your favorite comedian?
You know, I like some bad ones. They're below 4, but
it's all right. It's all right, man. We have a podcast here. We're not on the radio, so
yeah. I like Jim Jefferies. You know, Dave Chappelle. Like Jim Gaffigan's a little cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, like if it's good stand-up though, like sometimes, especially on Netflix, because there's so many stand-up comedy things on there. Like a Netflix will just pop on. I'm like, oh, I like this one. And I'll start watching it.
Yeah,
that's usually how it goes.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I've been to comedy shows, you know, like local comedy shows, and I go in there, you know, it's not even anybody that's really known, like a big name, and I'll get in there, and I will start crying.
This guy's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, how is this guy not, like, you know, a star, you know, because they have such great skits, and it's like, wow, it's like, you know, so you do find, you know, I'm the same as you. I'll kind of cruise through the channels, put, like, on an all-star comedy jam or something like that, and I watch some guys, and I'm like, these guys are great. So, I mean, it really doesn't matter who it is. It's just, if it's funny, it's funny.
Yeah.
What about video games? You know, like everybody, like, you know, in college and high school, always playing video games. Are you into video games, or that's not your thing?
Like, a little bit, but honestly, it's because my roommates are all so good at Fortnite. They're so good.
What's
like,
their game?
At Fortnite. Like,
okay.
That game everyone plays. Like, I'm trash at it. I'm so bad that it's like one of the running jokes on the team that I'm just terrible at it. But, you know, I play it. It's fun. Like, I wouldn't say I play video games a lot. You know, maybe an hour a day would be, like, a lot. Just because I just, honestly, I watch a lot of wrestling. It's, like, really dorky of me.
Right. Listen.
I probably watch, like, 2 to 3 hours of wrestling a day in the summer. When it's, like, you sit home and have nothing to do, like, I'll just put matches on. Like, I've been watching Russian Nationals, and I've been watching a lot of international stuff, and it's really enjoyable for me. I can't tell you why. I can't, like, I don't know at what point I started liking to watch wrestling, but it's just something that I really like, and it passes the time, and it's super relaxing for me. I think it's just, you know, everyone's got that thing that they love to learn about.
Yeah.
For me, like, I love geeking out about wrestling, so.
You know, that shows probably a lot about, you know, kind of the reason why you got to the next level a lot sooner. You know, you're a student of the game. You know, like Mike Tyson, when he first started out, you know, they talk about, like, you know, he was like a boxing connoisseur. He knew everybody's name, their records, what they did, what they were good at. He watched film all the time, you know, and he was a young champion too. So, you know, it you know, those things help. And for the younger people listening out there, that's something maybe, you know, you should start doing. You know, you don't have to stay with a specific style. You can really kind of grab a little bit from different people and kind of come up with your own style. And, you know, my coach in college, Gene Mills, and Coach Gray Simons, one of the best two guys ever to wrestle, you know, were perfect at that. They both had their you know, their good positions and what they were good at. And you take a little bit from that here and a little bit from there, and it kind of molds you as a wrestler. Who is your favorite wrestler, you think, if you had to pick one, you know, maybe two? Because I know that's difficult because there's so many guys out there. But who comes to mind when I ask you who your favorite wrestler is?
I like to watch a lot of the foreigners, like a lot of Russians, honestly. I'm a huge fan of Russian wrestling. I think it's they make it a lot more. It's like, especially back, you know, because now wrestling's so high level, honestly, that it's hard to be as poetic, you know. There's got to be a certain level of just, like, grit to it. But I'm a huge fan of this guy's name's Uvaysar Sityev. He's a Russian wrestler back, you know, in the 80s, 90s. He's a three-time Olympic gold medalist.
Fitsayev?
You know, Art, he's a Russian.
Yeah. He's phenomenal.
One of the best wrestlers ever. You know, I like to watch John Smith growing up. I like some guys now are like Frank Tomizo, like Soslan Romanov. You know, I watch like Kyle Dake, David Taylor, Burrow Snyder. You know, this guy Beck Bulatov from Russia, you know, Donnie from Iran. It's just, I honestly just like appreciate good wrestling. And, you know, I watch a guy like Tomizo. That's a name that came to mind. You watch Tomizo and you're like, wow, that is so cool. Watching Tomizo wrestle is like watching like poetry in motion. You know what I mean?
He's
watching, and then if you watch him wrestle a guy like Romanov, you're like, wow, Romanov's awesome. Like, he's got a great arm drag. He's got a great single leg. You watch some of that, and the whole time, I think for me, without even realizing, it's like, I'm absorbing that information. I'm absorbing the movements and the footwork. So now it's became a point where I have no problem just plopping wrestling on, mindlessly watching it, being like, oh, what was that? Pause, rewind, watch it. And I think when you ask, like, my favorite wrestlers, the guys who can make me go, oh, what was that? Pause, rewind, watch it again, are the guys that I enjoy to watch, because it's something new, it's something different, and especially when it's something that I can add to my game.
So basically, you're saying...
I put a lot of value in that.
If somebody makes... Basically, if you're saying... What you're saying is, if somebody makes you rewind, you're a big fan.
Yeah, because it's now... I see that they like what I'm trying to do. I haven't done anything really that crazy yet, but they are trying to do something new that no one else has done. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to do something that separates them from everyone else. And I can appreciate that, because the way wrestling's evolved today, it's so hard to be original. Everything I do is copied from something I watched or something I saw or something someone else did or something someone taught me, you know? It's really hard to come up with original things that no one else does.
But you know,
Burrow's double. You know, it's something original. I mean, it's not original. He's got something special about his double leg that no one else has, right? And that's why he's so successful, because when Jordan Burrow decides he wants to score, he scores. I can appreciate that, because that is so hard to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Taking you down now and take the guy down.
And you're not talking. And you're not talking about guys that are just, you know, nobody's. You're talking about the best in the world. When he decides he wants to take you down, he makes it an issue and he takes you down.
Yeah, when Burrows needs to score on Tomizo, he does. Which is super hard, because no one scores on him. You know what I mean?
No,
it's crazy. It's really cool to watch high-level wrestling, because you'll watch a guy and be like, man, that dude is so good. And then he'll get destroyed by a guy and be like, man, that guy must be really good. Then he'll lose, and he'll lose to a guy who loses to a guy who loses to a guy, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. And slowly as I get older, I try and remove myself from that, though, because eventually, you know, like, my goal is to be a world champion, Olympic champion. Like, I have to beat those guys.
Yeah.
So I gotta stop being like, man, these guys are so good.
Yeah, well, you know, there comes a point, obviously, yeah, you're right, when you're on the cross, you're across the mat from them, you know, you have to have that, it's got to be like a light switch, you have to turn that off. But at the same time, you know, you appreciate talent. You appreciate the best of the best. And that actually, that always helps. Because if you have respect for your opponent, it doesn't make you complacent. You don't get complacent, rather. You are focused on the task at hand, because you know you're going to have to wrestle tough. You're going to have to be mentally tough, and also have to focus a lot more than you do. You know, I always noticed when, you know, in high school, and, you know, even some people in college, you know, you get out there, you're wrestling them, and it's just like, you know, you're just beating them, you know, because you're better than them. But when you get to the top guys, I remember the one transition that was difficult for me to make was the fact that I couldn't wrestle for 6 minutes, even in 50 seconds in college. I had to wrestle 7 minutes, not only physically, but mentally. And the fact of the matter was, is that even if I was up by 10 points, you know, was never a gimme. I always, even though, you know, kind of you take, okay, listen, there's a couple of minutes left. I know I'm up for 6-7 points. I'm going to win this match. It was never easy in college. Guys were coming at you constantly. And that's what guys that could take that pressure, take all of it, and then give back were the guys that always were the successful ones, the guys that were all Americans and national champs and things like that. I mean, it always amazed me how, you know, you, you, That's how you need to think. You need to think and stay focused for the 7 minutes more than physical. Your physical, your body won't fail you, but your mind has to stay completely focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where I'm at now. Is, you know, I understand these guys are really good, but in the end, my goal is to be better. So, you know, now at 19 years old, I have to just, even if it's not true, tell myself I'm the best guy in the world. Even if I'm not, you know, I'm not the best guy in the world, but I have to convince myself of it. And every time I wrestle, I need to say, this guy's not as good as me. This guy's not as blank as me. I am better than him. And that's something that, even if it's a lie, I don't care. I have to believe it. I know for me to succeed, I have to believe I'm the best wrestler in the world. I have to believe no one can beat me. And hopefully that's true. But, you know, I'm not there yet, obviously. But I think it's something that's really important. And I don't think you can win the world championships or win the NCAA title without saying, I am the best wrestler in the world. I am the best wrestler in America. I don't think guys just kind of win on accident. You know what I mean? I'm sure. Even Kyle Snyder, he was 19 years old. He wrestled Abdusalam Gedisov. He's a 5-time world champion. You know, one of the best wrestlers pound for pound in the world at the time. I can 100% guarantee Kyle Snyder, going into that match, was telling himself he's the best wrestler in the world and that this guy will not beat him. I can also, like, going off that, I'm sure he definitely wasn't saying to himself, oh, this guy's really good, you know. Yeah, I'm only 19. Like, if I get silver, that's okay. That never happened. I know it didn't. I know how Kyle Snyder is. You know, he would never accept that. And I think that's where I need to be as well. Where every time, you know, I'm talking about, does not matter if this dude's 0-20 on the JV team, or he's just 5-time world champion. I need to believe this guy is not as good as I am. That's all it comes down to.
Do you ever get, I mean, you know, obviously the mind is a very powerful thing. And throughout your life, no matter, even if it's not wrestling, even if it's not in sports, you always have that sometimes doubt creeps in, or, you know, you think of, okay, if this happens, what do I do? Or any doubt, you know, just listen, in business, in relationships, in sports, in everything, you do sometimes get that feeling like, you know, listen, you have maybe some doubts creeping in. How do you combat that, you know, as a 19-year-old or anybody for that matter? How do you combat those feelings? Do you almost laugh them off? Do you shake them off? Or do you just kind of put your focus in a different direction when you feel that coming on?
So, for wrestling specifically, that's kind of part of this thing. I don't know why or when it started, but like when I say nothing's going on in my brain, there's literally nothing. You know, obviously, I'm like, all right, I'm wrestling Bryce Meredith. It's the national final. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
It's like none of those things, even though they're true and I know they're happening, are actually happening in my brain. It's like, all right, I'm going out and I'm wrestling this guy and I'm going to beat him. That's all it comes down to. And I think that's difficult for some people. It's hard to just ignore things, you know? I get it. Because otherwise, everyone would just be never nervous and no one would ever be uncomfortable and everyone would just be 100% every time, you know what I mean? But that's not how the world works. And, you know, that's a big part of it for me. It's like all that stress, you know, what's going on, not just in wrestling, but even external things in my life that might creep into my head. Turn that brain off. Just don't let it be a thing. And I think that's why I enjoy wrestling so much. It's something that
takes your mind off of
things. No matter what's going on in my life, you know, I can take however long I need to just unwind. Ignore all of that, you know, put it up in a closet somewhere and just not look at it right now and just enjoy what I'm doing in the moment and live in the moment.
If you didn't wrestle, what do you think you would be doing? What sport do you think you'd be playing?
Honestly, like, I wouldn't, like, I don't know how I would have got into it because, like, my parents don't do this, but I think boxing is so cool.
That's
like, I'm not saying I would be a boxer because, like, my parents haven't really got, I didn't do it growing up at all. It's not really a thing you do when you're 8. It's like box. Yeah. But I think boxing's so cool. I love watching it. You know, Vasyl Lomachenko, I think it's awesome. I just saw an Instagram video of him actually, like, right before he called me. Dude's got a nail in his hand. He's punching this thick, like, tree stump. But it's it's stump side pointing at him, you know what I mean, so that the rings are facing him.
Oh my
and he
God.
It's his jab hand. He jabbed the nail into the tree stump.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
so imagine getting jackhammered with that?
Huh? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's his jab hand. That's what he's, like, peppering you with. Just throwing that out there, just poof, right in your face. And I'm going off on a tangent, but
no,
I just
fine.
Think boxing's really cool. It's one of those things that, like, I'm not saying I would have ever done it because I have no connection to it, but, like, in an alternate world, if I didn't wrestle, I think that'd be something really cool. But it's, like, fun. That's another thing, like, I can't tell you why I would enjoy just getting my face rocked, but I think that'd be so cool.
You're talking to a big boxing fan here, too, you know, so I'm on the same page with you. And one of my favorite sports. I love baseball, love boxing, but definitely, you know, obviously wrestling is the number one sport for me. One other thing, you know, tell me, give me a little bit of background. You know, like, I know you got brothers, you got some stud brothers, and, you know, I know one of your brothers isn't a wrestler. Is that correct or no?
My brothers are funny. You know, me and Elijah, my youngest one, you know, we have an awesome relationship. He's like a weird, he's so much younger than me. Not so much. He's 11 and I'm 19, you know.
Uh-huh.
But he's like my baby brother, like that dude. You know, he looks up to me and, you know, I'm always there for him. He's always there for me. And we have an awesome relationship. And then me and Greg, so Greg's a little closer in age to me. And, you know, Elijah's like my ultimate supporter. You know, always there. He's like, you know, when I won that, like, when I beat Iron in the semis, there's a video of him just, like, freaking out, and he, like, almost threw the iPad out of his hands that he was videoing the match with because he was so excited. And then Greg, who I'm not going to, like, you know, throw shade at him. Like, Greg also really cares about me, and he also, you know, wants the best for me. But, you know, we're a little closer in age, so he has no problem, you know, poking fun at me.
Yeah,
all
yeah, no.
Time.
Of course, that's what brother. That's what siblings are
yeah,
for.
Yeah, like we go back and forth, you know. Like Flow Wrestling. Here's an example. Like Flow Wrestling posted this picture of me. It's like me just raising my arms up, you know, yesterday. And Greg, I see it. Top comment on the thing. Yanni sits when he pees.
Oh my God, that's great.
It's just like just little things to roast me, you know. And like I give it back to him. We go back and forth, and as much as it looks like we bicker and just annoy each other to no end, you know, in the end, we still care about each other, and, you know, we have our moments, usually at wrestling tournaments, and, you know, like, you see, if you pay attention, we have our moments where, you know, you can see we really care about each other.
No, no doubt
but
about it.
We definitely, me and Greg, have a different relationship than me and Lige do, which I think is awesome. You know, it's funny, and it's very enjoyable for my friends to just see me just take heat from this little dude.
Well, you know, the best thing about it, is the fact that you know nobody really would come up to you and say some of those things, so that's why it makes it even funnier because
yes.
Greg is just like whatever comes to his
Greg's
mind, like, he's like, hey,
Yanni.
You know, this ain't
cool.
Big bad Yanni, this is, you know, my brother, and you know, hey, listen, you spot when you pee, you know.
A really cool conversation me and Greg had. So Greg is like a couple years younger than me, but he's just young enough that dudes like Dean Heil and Bryce Meredith are so cool to him. Like, not so cool, but he's just like, dude, these guys are good. And me, just being his brother, Yanni, like, I remember after Nationals, he's like, dude, you've beat Bryce Miller twice. Like, we're 2-0 against him. I'm like, yeah. He goes, he's so good, though. Like,
it's almost yes, he can't yes. believe. It's almost he can't believe the guy that he went, you know, like, slept with every night in the same house and, you know, hung out with and knows at a different level than anyone else. It's almost like,
yeah,
he can't even believe,
like,
how good you are.
He goes, it's freaking Yanni. Like, what happened to you? I'm like, I don't know. You know, it's like funny stuff like that because, you know, now I'm doing the same thing with him. Like, wow, like, Greg's in the finals of Super 32. Or like, Greg's, you know, top three at the World Team Trials. I'm like, man, little Greg's, like, growing up on me, you know? And it's funny because, like, we're close enough in age where we both know each other as, like, the little baby. You know what I mean? That's something Lies doesn't have. Lies, by the time, you know, he was 7, I was 14. You know, I won a state title, and I was, you know, going into my freshman year, I won Super 32. So Lige was just like, wow, like, this is just, Yanni's awesome. Like, you know, he just looks up to me. But Greg, you know, when he was 7, I was 10. I was still a little dork, a little, like, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even more of a baby to me because he's my younger brother. So it's cool now that we're kind of growing up a little bit to be like, oh, wow, like, look at him go. You know what I mean? And that's a cool thing to have.
You think he's going to go to Cornell?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not going to speak for him, but, you know, I really like it, and I think that the fact that I like it is reassuring to him, you know, that
His brother knows.
He wouldn't be making a mistake, and, you know, I have nothing bad to say about the program, and in the end, it's going to be his decision. You know, I'm not going to tell him what to do, but, you know, I think he likes it there, and I think he likes the coaches, and it's definitely a great opportunity. You know, if you want to get a job, this is one thing I didn't mention earlier because it's so obvious, but, like, for people who want to be normal people and have a career, why wouldn't you go to Cornell? You know, I mean, if you have the opportunity.
No, it's an incredible
education. Set yourself up for a lifetime of success.
Take sports out of the equation. I mean, you know, you go to Cornell University. I mean, that speaks volumes.
Your life has changed forever.
Oh, my goodness. It's a great opportunity coming out. There's unbelievable alumni, people in high positions in different, you know, organizations.
Yeah, we have this guy, Chris Shaner, doing an internship for this guy, and he's like, helping his, like, Bitcoin mining. I don't even understand what goes into this because it's so, like, complex of a thing. But, like, if Chris, like, got that job in a couple of years, he'd be, like, set for life. Like, that's a great job. You're making tons of money. And he'd be graduating college 22 years old with great job security, not job security, but a great job with a boss that Chris has now worked with for 2 summers. So he's already got that relationship.
No, and it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's all because it's just like Cole's buddy. You know what I mean? And I think that is invaluable. You know, there's no amount of anything that can replace that. The fact that when you graduate, you have a guy like Coach Cole who can set you up to have a great life for the rest of your life and make money and, you know, set yourself up for, you know, everything.
You know, Rob Cole is so talented. You know, I always tell people, you know, oh, Rob Cole's a great coach, and, you know, and he does amazing things at Cornell and everything. Yes, absolutely. That on the surface, you are 100% right. He is that guy. He has incredible talent as a coach and recruiting and everything in that aspect. What people don't realize, I think Rob would be an incredible CEO of a company. I mean,
we say it all the time.
He's the CEO of that team. He runs it so efficiently. Like a Swiss watch. I mean, he's so on top of things. He would be a guy running a Fortune 500 company in my estimation, because it's just, I know the way he is. I know how meticulous he is, and I know he cares, and I know that he doesn't leave any, you know, T's not crossed or I's dotted. He's on top of it, and that's his thing. So I mean, he does an amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what Coach Cole is really great at, is that the fact that, you know, he can always, like, be there for you. You're never going to graduate from Cornell and be like, man, how am I going to get a job now?
No, no doubt. You know, Coach Cole
will be like, I have 10 offers for you.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's just people he knows. He'll just be like, I don't want any of those. I'll find my own job.
Yeah.
And you're a Cornell graduate. So it's like your name automatically goes to the top of any list of a job that you apply for. You know what I mean?
It's an amazing university. You're an amazing guy. You know, I'm so happy that we had an opportunity to speak to you today a little bit, Yanni. And, you know, I funny story just before we wrap this up. About 3-4 years ago, I was doing, you know, I do some telecasts. You know, I do the stuff with NBC and Fox Sports, and sometimes I do things with Flo. And I was doing the autism duels, and you were in there, and I could not pronounce your last name. It was embarrassing. Like, I was on the air, and then I just started calling you Yanni. Usually, like, oh, you know, Smith takes a single leg, and so on and so forth. And I just could not get it. I was like, I was saying it to myself for like 10 minutes before we went on air, and I couldn't get it. But over the next 3 years, you've forced people to learn how to say your last name because of your success, the way you are, and your whole nine, you know, your whole package is incredible. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, I have the opportunity to speak to you and periodically reach out to your buddy. I'm a big fan. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me. I had a great time. And, you know, thank you for the kind words, too.
Yeah, and we'll be in touch again. Maybe just before the season, we'll bring you back on, and we'll do maybe 15, 20 minutes just to give us an update on Cornell and how everything's going to go this year, and your perspective on how the season's going to go.
Yeah, for sure. Sounds good.
All right, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Once again, Yanni Diakomihalis. I got it right. Yanni Diakomihalis, the man. He is the man. NCAA champion, world champion, cadet champion, and four-time New York State champion. Thanks again. This is Nick Garone from Inside Trip.
Thank you, guys. Awesome. Have a good day.